I don't know what day it is. I'm flabbergasted.
Wendy, it's Wednesday.
It's the middle of the week. It's supposed to be on.
It's the middle of the week. It's Prince Spaghetti Day.
You have one button.
I'm lucky I have that.
You're not going to have any.
I'll tell you what. If I was in charge of this station, there's no way I'd give me a button. There's no way.
Oh, my God.
It's too much responsibility.
Did
Hi, everybody.
Swear?
I don't think I did.
I think I did.
Well, I'm sure you did.
Well, jeez. Gosh. I know it's the stream.
Jasmine, are we getting any irate callers saying that they were trying to listen to the show, but all they heard was Wendy swearing?
It was not me. You were the one right in front of your microphone.
But I don't swear. I treat every moment of life as a special moment, Wendy, and one in which I don't want people hearing me swear. But you, Miss
okay.
Potty Mouth.
Can I just tell you? You don't swear.
Western suburbs.
But you are more biting than I am.
That's possible.
That is all I'll say.
It's possible.
And I can't see you. Your screen's in the way. I swear to God, give us key lime pie and the whole world falls apart.
Yeah, it's Pie Day. And boy, are we celebrating. They have brought us delicious key lime pie. Boy, is it good. And it's authentic, Wendy. And you know my test for how to determine whether or not key lime pie is authentic or not, right?
No.
I ask the people who bring it. I say, is this authentic? And if they say yes, I go, oh, good, because I love it. The way to tell is if it's yellow, you want to eat it because it's real key lime pie. Because don't say let it mellow. That's not nice. I saw it in your mind. I saw it.
I left all my paperwork downstairs.
You left the script downstairs?
We don't have a script.
Jasmine, would you get Wendy her script, please?
No. I don't need anything. I just want to show you I can do it without a safety net.
I don't know if that's
okay,
a good
idea.
Okay,
so if it's yellow?
If it's yellow, it's authentic key lime pie because in the Keys, in the Florida Keys, limes are yellow.
Key limes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're smaller. They're not like your regular lime-sized limes. They're smaller and they're yellow.
They are tiny.
And they're more tart. Yeah, they're very small. And you can get most stores now, like there was a time where the only place you could get authentic key limes was in the Florida Keys or the surrounding area. South Florida had them.
But then trains brought them in.
Then,
trucks.
Thanks to the miracle of the Iron Horse, Wendy, as we like to call it, now you can get key limes in at your local grocer.
Although
the world's a better place.
Have you ever tried to make like a homemade key lime pie?
My wife has.
Honestly, was it good?
Yeah, she did a nice job.
My second favorite pie, I really do like a key lime pie because it's delicious.
So good.
And
so good. It's like eating a margarita.
It, you know what it is.
It's like eating a margarita.
I should use key limes in my margarita.
Oh, it's so good. I've had that. That's really good.
Because I don't use syrup. I just use I squeeze limes, just fresh lime juice and tequila and Cointreau or Triple Sec.
There's some company, the name is escaping me right now. They sell their key lime juice. It's so good. If you make the key lime pie with that, you'll get the authentic taste.
My second favorite pie, and I don't know if you agree with this, is strawberry pie.
It's not my second favorite, but it's
I just love
number
it.
14 for me.
It's a little short on crust because the strawberries and the gelatinous matter are on the top and there is no cover.
That's the problem.
And then when you get to the bottom, it's like I would like a thicker crust on the bottom.
Yeah, that would be good. What do you think of the peanut butter chocolate pie? Are you a fan? Don't like it?
Bill, I know this is very un-American and strange.
Say it. Go on.
I don't particularly love peanut butter.
Wendy.
And I don't...
Peanut butter.
I like chocolate a lot, I'll say that, but I could live without it.
Really?
I'm a vanilla girl.
Oh, man.
And I do, every once in a while, like to get the crunchy Reese's peanut butter cup.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, it goes away. Do you remember we worked together before?
I don't remember that. No. This is the first
You're still
time.
Going to therapy over there?
This is the
there?
First time. Yes. See the way my eye keeps blinking? I don't remember.
I thought that stopped.
No, it had stopped, but now it's come back full force.
there's an EAS test.
Oh, no. On Pi Day? That's the one day you don't want to do the EAS test, is on Pi Day.
I don't remember what I was saying. I'm completely thrown
You were talking
for a
about
loop.
Your favorite pies and how you enjoy the vanilla. You enjoy anything that's just...
Oh, the Reese's.
Yeah.
The Reese's made a crunchy peanut butter cup, not smooth.
Oh, yeah.
And it went
so
away.
Good. So good.
And then it came back since I've been back with you, and I saw it, and only Walgreens had it. So I brought it in, and we enjoyed it. I can't find the crunchy again.
No, that was a limited time thing.
But it was, like, limited for a year. It was quite a long while.
Yeah.
But now what's the next best thing is the Reese's peanut butter cup with Reese's pieces in the middle.
I don't think I've had that.
It's pretty good.
I've seen it. I've not tried it, though.
The crunchiness, because I like the crunch. But that's just it. Like, every once in a while, I'll take a spoonful of peanut butter.
To make the medicine go down?
I take too much medicine. I need more than that to make the medicine go down.
A crane full of sugar?
And maybe it's because my dad was a diabetic. We never had sweets in our house, ever.
You wouldn't believe our house. Willy Wonka at one time said, could you guys go easy on the sweets? There's a lot of sweets.
So if we wanted a sweet treat that's good to eat after dinner, I would either take a spoonful of peanut butter or have a bowl of sugary cereal. That we did have. But it sounds like you really had candy and cookies in your house at all times.
An unlimited supply. It's amazing. That, honestly, I can't imagine a situation where that seemed okay, but my parents were on board with it. Yeah, let's just get every kind of candy and cookie and snack available.
You have a sweet tooth now, don't you?
Yes, but it's controllable. Like, I really love that stuff, but as you know, a couple times a year, I just totally blank it out, and I feel great when
I do. When you blank it out, that's one thing, but the rest of the year...
I don't go crazy. You'd think I would, but,
I don't have a taste for sweet. I eat them. Please, you've seen me. I had a piece of pie from the Windsor, which, by the way, if you stop by to celebrate Pi Day on this 3.14, you will get a $3.14 slice of pie with the purchase of an entree.
Worth every penny.
160 East Huron. It's the Windsor. Very good. I'll eat sweets, but I could honestly live without them.
Let me throw an idea. You tell me what you think about this. My daughter Kylie invented this. She calls it the PB&C, and it's peanut butter in coffee. Now, I'm not a coffee drinker at all, I have no idea. But she drinks one almost every night, either before, during, or after dinner. And then she has turned her friends on. They all now order a PB&C. They go into a restaurant and they say it, and then the waiter or waitress doesn't know what they're talking about. Then they explain it, and then by the time it's over, everybody enjoys it. But I don't, because I don't drink coffee, I can't weigh in.
I would not mix the two. Do you just stir it in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
She stirs it in there. She can't eat sweets. There's something about it that it messes her up. She just can't eat sweets. Which I think would be almost a mixed blessing, wouldn't it? Because then you wouldn't have to fight with yourself. You just go, my body doesn't tolerate it, so I don't even have to think about it. I just can't have it. But for a long time, whenever she'd eat ice cream or cake or cookie, she would get a stomach ache. And then the doctor said, you got to just cut this stuff out. And now she's fine.
Is it sugar or is it the milk? Because everything you mentioned has dairy in it. Oh, yeah.
Dairy. Yeah.
That sucks.
And in New York, like she said, in the restaurants in New York, every restaurant has a full complement of things you can order that's dairy-free. But here in the Midwest, she said, I have a very hard time. Whenever she comes home, she just can't find stuff to eat in restaurants. Every once in a while, there'll be one or two or three things. But in New York, it's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. We can fix that.
I'm just curious about the whole milk thing because, why do we drink cow's milk?
It's weird.
It's kind
when you
of
think
weird.
About it, it's very weird.
I mean, yeah. I know, women breastfeed. I breastfed both my kids.
As did I.
You're the best dad, I swear to God.
It's a very controversial turn at my house. Some of my family said it's inappropriate, but I was very comfortable with it.
You got them.
I looked at it as a bonding time, Wendy.
That's right. But it is weird when you think about why we eat or drink cow's milk.
It's very peculiar.
And I don't know if you liked milk as a kid. I know you don't really like it now. I love it. A big ice cold glass of skim milk. I love it.
Can I tell you something that I think will baffle you? Because you're a scientist, so I think this will throw you for a loop. When I was very young, I liked it so much that I drank too much of it, and I became a reverse anemic.
All right, anemic means that the iron in your blood is not there.
Yeah. I had the reverse problem.
Oh, you had too much iron?
I had too much iron.
You did not have iron poor blood?
No, I did not have iron poor blood. Who told you I did? Name names.
What was her name that did that? Iron poor blood? Because it was kind of an accent. English, British.
I know it wasn't Julie Andrews.
No.
Because you wouldn't have watched it.
I would have boycotted it.
Right. Right. But I drank so much. Like on Saturday mornings when I would watch the cartoons, I myself, a three-year-old version of me, similar to the version you see sitting across from you right now, would drink an entire 64-ounce thing of milk.
A gallon?
Yeah, I drink a gallon of milk while I was watching the cartoons. I would just drink the whole thing. And then at some point, the doctor said, he's got too much milk. This isn't good. They'd squeeze part of, like, you could squeeze my arm, and milk would come out of my pores. That's not normal.
No, normal. It was a Geritol commercial.
It was Geritol. So because of that, they had to put me on a low milk diet, and then eventually at some point I just went, well, it's not good anymore, except for chocolate milk, which is just so good.
I'm mad at the schools because my kids never had chocolate milk.
What?
I never gave them chocolate milk.
Randy,
I mean,
that's, you're like Joan Crawford.
I just thought, again, being raised with a diabetic dad, it's like, why add more sugar? They get enough of it everywhere. I mean, I let them have Lucky Charms and cereal that had sugar in it.
Yeah.
But I never brought chocolate milk home.
Oh.
And then in elementary school, all of a sudden, they got the choice of regular milk or chocolate milk. And what kid is not going to pick chocolate milk?
Not just what kid. I can't imagine anyone in there. Right. If you had two things of milk in front of you, a regular and a chocolate, how could you not go chocolate?
I would not pick chocolate.
Really?
If you're having a burger or something that's, you know, or the orange cheese pizza that they made at the cafeteria, which I loved, it looked terrible and smelled awful, but boy, that junior high pizza with the orange cheese and leftover hamburger meat was really good. I could not eat chocolate. Or I could not eat food and have chocolate milk to wash it down. To me, chocolate milk is a treat. It's not a bevy to drink with your meal.
See, now, I don't even think milk is good to eat with any of those foods.
No, you need carbonation.
You need
a
some
Coke.
Carbonation. Right, right, right.
Sprite.
But as a quick pick-me-up or a breakfast drink, I would do chocolate milk over... regular milk just doesn't cut it for me.
I used to truly enjoy the Carnation Instant Breakfasts.
Yeah.
That was a big thing when we were growing up.
So this was the powdered milk that you'd mix in with water, right?
No, I think you did it with milk.
So what was... I'm trying to think, though, what was the one that we had? My mom got something from Carnation that had 10 packets... Two were vanilla, two were chocolate, one was strawberry, one was eggnog, one was chocolate marshmallow. That was the best one.
I remember those. I thought you mixed
it
with milk.
Water?
Carnation instant milk. Yeah, I guess you did mix it with water.
I think it was water. I think. Boy, the chocolate marshmallow one went, like, as soon as it was brought in from the...
What was the last one to go? Strawberry?
No, the vanilla one, because...
Oh, my God, that would have been my first choice.
Really? Yeah. The vanilla one didn't taste enough. It wasn't different enough. It still kind of had a milk taste, even though probably because of the color. We were probably influenced by it. It didn't change color.
Right, that's true.
You know?
It got a little yellower.
Just a little, but not enough, you know? Yeah, but my mom wouldn't get new ones because she goes, you still have a couple of packets, so my brother and I would just throw those away.
Yeah. And that wasn't a diet thing. That was supposed to give you some kind of nutrition if you're in a hurry in the morning.
Right. Right.
Because then there was Slim Fast. And then do you remember the candies that looked like they were in a box, like mint meltweights, but they were called AIDS?
Yeah.
AYDS.
Yeah.
Bad
AIDS
name.
Candies. Well,
this was pre-HIV.
But then as soon as the virus came out, I'm sure that company was like, wait, you're gonna call this what?
There's
no other names you can call this?
A neighbor lady down the street who was always trying fad diet stuff, and whenever I would go to play with her daughter, she had one of those machines in the basement that just jiggled you. I don't know what I'm talking about?
Like a belt. Right.
And you'd turn it on, and then you'd talk like this, and we would just do that, and then she would talk into a fan, and we would have a communication
Who
together.
Is this? Is this Katherine Hepburn? How did you get my number? The calla lilies are in bloom. Who is this? Miss Hepburn, please. I'm enjoying some cereal.
This is down the block. I don't want to name names because they're still around.
Oh.
But the mom was always into diet things, and she wasn't overweight.
She just liked
she
to
really
diet
wasn't.
Or felt the need to.
Yeah. But they had that fat shaker is what we called it.
Yeah, the fat shaker.
And then those AIDS candies that, you know, they were supposed to aid in, you would have that and it would fill you up.
Yeah.
And what else did she have? It was like always these newfangled diet things.
My wife's aunt, her Aunt Anne, everybody has an Aunt Anne when you stop them. But you don't have one? Mm-mm. Wendy, sign up now. Get yourself an Aunt Anne. So my wife's Aunt Anne, because I also had an Aunt Anne. Everybody did. I thought, except for you. She had an exercise room, which consisted of that, the thing you're describing, the stand on, that thing. So she would do that.
What did it do, by the way?
It just vibrate you.
And that was supposed to get rid of your fat?
Yeah, they believed that it did. So she would put in 40 minutes a day on that thing, and she would do it during Wheel of Fortune.
How could she hear the TV? It was pretty loud.
It was very loud. Yeah. It was like a huge engine on there. And it would just, you would put it around your waist and it would shake your waist. But I don't think anyone truly got thin from it.
No.
It was just...
It was kind of fun to do it, though. It really was, because we were kids. We didn't need to do it.
Did you ever, when you were a kid, did you ever stay in a motel or a hotel that had the you
magic
put the
fingers?
Quarter in, you put the magic...
Damn yeah, straight.
The vibrating bed.
That was not that fun to me. That was just loud, and it was like I was Reagan in The Exorcist.
It was one of those things... I don't know if you ever had a moment like this as a child. I had several as a child. But we'd put the quarter in. It was always when we were on vacation. We'd go in to visit my great-grandparents in Detroit, and we'd be in Detroit, and we'd put the quarter in, and my brother and I would lay there, and we'd vibrate. And I always think to myself, this is how rich people live.
But it wasn't magic fingers. I'm thinking of this amazing, stimulating massage that is going to get rid of all my muscle aches. And this was just a vibrating bed that was louder than a vacuum cleaner.
Right.
How could you sleep with that thing on?
I don't know. But I don't know if you remember the disappointment when it was over. Because the whole time you'd be vibrating, you go, oh, I don't know how long this is going to last.
It's going to get better.
It's going to get better and better. And then it would just slow down to that. And you go, oh, man.
Very disappointing.
Oh, this is the worst. All right. Let's do this. We'll take a break. And then Judy Pylak will join us.
She's our audio magic fingers.
Right. That's exactly the right way to describe Judy. Our audio magic fingers to give us the news. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude. There have been no bad reports about this school walkout that happened.
No, none, right? I didn't hear anything bad.
I haven't either.
Good. I know there was some fear.
You know, my son Dylan's a freshman at LT High School, and he sent me video, and it seemed like every single solitary kid was out there, and it seemed calm and respectful. We had a listener who called us earlier who said her daughter was so anxious and suffers from anxiety, and she didn't want to go out because she thought if there was a school shooter, what a target.
Right.
Everyone was outside, and that I can't stop thinking about that.
Right. Yeah,
How horrible that
is.
That
they're thinking about
You know what's the horrible part? I get it.
I know.
I get
too.
Why they're thinking that. That's the whole point. That girl is afraid to be a target at a big gathering.
And it should never be that way.
No.
Not kids or anyone. We're texting in saying, I think it was Downers Grove that was saying you would get an absence.
Unexcused absence?
Yes,
maybe?
And if you had a couple of those, you'd be suspended.
An excused or an unexcused?
Unexcused
absence.
Yeah. We were hearing other districts were saying privately to the teachers, don't take attendance at that time.
And they shouldn't. I mean, you know, listen, if a kid, skipped the whole rest of the day, they should be doubly punished.
And, there are the kids who don't care.
Right.
And are just doing, that they're such a minority. I mean, I think most of these kids are passionate.
And there was another thing a listener said earlier, Bill, that I can't get off my mind.
That?
He said if there's a kid that doesn't want to participate, not that they don't agree with what's going on, but maybe they just don't want to be involved.
Yeah.
They would get ostracized if they stayed back in the classroom. Like, really, there are kids, I was never one of them, that want to be smart and then want to study.
Yeah.
There are seriously kids that are
you know what? In this case, I don't know. I feel like that's not going to be such an issue because these kids hopefully truly believe in what they're doing and they're trying to make a difference, and they're the kids who aren't gonna target a kid like that. Fine. We get it. This is your form of protest or whatever. You want to stay inside,
and everyone has a right.
But if the root of this is bullying to some extent, it's the whole thing is rooted in bullying, right? A lot of these kids will tell you that they're outsiders because they were bullied. Why bully a kid for not participating in this?
It's all about your right.
Yeah,
your right to peacefully demonstrate.
There was something going around Facebook, and I don't know. You got to take everything you see out there with a grain of salt. But it was a teacher.
It's on the internet. It's all true.
That's what Bill told me.
Yeah. I know. That's what I heard from Bill, too. Yeah.
There was a teacher that would, every Friday in her class, I don't know what grade this was. I think it was sixth or under, I think. Every Friday, she would pass around little ballots of pieces of paper, and you would have to fill in who you you wanted to vote was the best citizen of the class that week. If you were paired up with another student for a project, who would it want to be? Who would you want to be paired with? And she said she doesn't really do anything with this other than gives like a fake award.
Yeah.
And she goes through it and looks for the kid whose name isn't mentioned, the kid who's an outsider, the kid who has no friends, who no one wants to be partnered with. And then she makes time to spend with them and talk to them and say,
so nice.
Is there something going on at home?
That's a great way to
do it. Isn't that a great teacher?
Who's being missed?
Right.
And then she zeroes in on them. That's awesome.
I'm covered in goosebumps thinking about
it because
if somebody took the time, I mean, even homeless people on the street, they don't necessarily want your money. They just want somebody to talk to sometimes.
I know. Lonely people, I just,
And that's what causes.
You know, one time at a fest in my hometown, I took my kids. They were at the carnival. They were a little bit younger, so I was like not about to go on any rides. And so I sat on a bench, and this elderly man came up, and he smelled a little bit, you know. And he was dressed fine. He had a kid, you know what I mean?
He wasn't homeless.
No, he wasn't homeless. He just was obviously, you know, lived alone. He was, you know, because it just was a little bit, because I think maybe I was hungover as always, and I was like, oh, this guy smells a little bit bad. But anyway.
He doesn't have a woman to take care of.
Right, and nobody take care. Exactly. He just didn't know. And I swear he was dressed nice, but maybe he just didn't wash his clothes,
right.
Whatever it was. But anyway, I talked to that man for like an hour. He just wanted
to talk.
Wasn't
he great?
But you know what? A police officer actually came up to me. He's like, hey, is everything okay here? And I'm like, yeah, everything's great.
He thought
great.
You were bothering him.
You know what? It's funny because I think my kids ran up a couple times, you know, and maybe I knew so many people there, but I just was like, oh no, I'm talking to this guy.
Yeah.
He just told me about his wife and where he, you know what I mean? He was in the war. I love talking to him, first of all.
Yeah.
He was so interesting. But I just realized, oh my gosh.
No one ever does that.
I got to give this guy an hour. What's an hour of my time that meant probably the world to him?
Yeah.
You know, and.
My kids at one point said, you know, they're a little shy about asking girls out, which is different. When I was going to school, everybody kind of sort of at least had pretend boyfriends. But now it's like they do things in a group and stuff. And they had asked, you know, what is good advice? And I said, whoever you're talking to, guy or girl, whether you want to be friends with them or whatever, listen to them. Because, and even during an interview, I can't talk. I learned this from Bobby Scafish. The best part of an interview is when you listen to what they're saying and then you can build off of their answer instead of just having, you know, written down questions, and you're not communicating.
Yeah.
Part of communicating is listening. So it's nice to listen to somebody else's point of view once in a while.
You know, you might like what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's
most
the
of the time you do.
Right. It is amazing to me how many interviews I see where people hear, but they don't listen.
Yeah.
Well, judging by how many calls we get in the newsroom from our listeners.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, I heard this at this time. Nope. This is what you heard. This is what we said.
Yeah.
You know, because we know exactly what we said, and it's just amazing. You know, we're all busy. We have social media. We have phone. It's just ridiculous. It's like, just talk to someone.
But when this teacher started doing this, the goal was what? So she would, on a weekly basis, on a Friday, I think you said, she would say, who do you most want to be a partner? Who is the citizen of the week?
Right.
And she would go out of her way to look for who was not getting mentioned. And then what would go on from there? What would she do?
She would talk to that kid after school and say, you know, is everything okay? She said this started after Columbine. After Columbine, she did that every Friday because the loners are the ones that have trouble. And not everyone who's depressed and is a loner is going to turn into a shooter.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's not going to happen.
I have a loner kid. He likes to be alone.
I'm
okay
do.
With that. And he's, you know, he told me outright. Don't worry, I just sometimes like to be alone. I don't need to have a whole bunch of friends.
Right.
Like, see, I don't really understand that, because when I was in probably sixth grade through now, I would always be out. I never wanted to be home. Now, granted, we didn't have kick-ass computers or games back then, and I wasn't rich enough to have Pong, which wasn't even that exciting.
Right.
But I wanted to go out and maybe partake in things that aren't really good for you, like underage drinking and things like that. These kids sometimes they play with other kids on their computers.
Computers changed everything.
Yeah,
because my kid, who's the loner, is a computer geek. He, you know, he does everything on the computer.
But is he doing interactive games with other people online?
Yeah, he has friends online.
Yeah,
he has friends.
But people will say that's not the same. But I kind of like that I know where my kids are.
Right, and if I feel like if he didn't have that, He might go out, but he's still, he goes out. Don't get me wrong. Just not
right,
like,
so but not two, like everyone
right,
else.
Right. My other one is never so home. Social. Yeah, exactly. He's in the Dominican Republic this week.
Spring
that's
break?
How far, that's how far away he wants to go.
Wow.
Right. Spring break.
Yeah.
Think I've gone there yet? No.
Not yet.
Anyway, my point, so the computer has
changed everything.
It hasn't been a resource because he has actually in person met people he's met on the computer. Like a few months ago, they came to Chicago.
Okay, that worries me a little bit.
It did worry me, but it was all fine. And they were two girls. And I looked them up, and they were all, you know, and he was showing me pictures, and they...
Careful, he'll get a computer virus.
No, but I mean, like, they were a couple, and it worked out. He showed them around Chicago, and it was fine.
See, I'm glad that's the payoff.
It is awesome, weird to me.
Here's why I'm glad it's the payoff. I think for a lot of people, I'm not talking about your son, but for a lot of people, the interaction that he's getting online or she's getting online, it's a made-up story. In their heads, they're like, well, I don't need to actually have interaction with people in public or in private because I've got that computer relationship. And that is a substitute, but I don't know that it's the best substitute.
It's not a substitute.
You know?
It's not. It's like different. I said, it's different, and the fact that he meets them in person
is better.
I think it is. And, you know, a lot of times because, you know, he's the animator, he tends to... talk to artists. He's on an art site. Oh. They're all artists, and they all. And I mean, that's okay. And those, think about it. A lot of times, artists are those kind of people.
They're independent.
They're independent, and they're constantly making art in one form or another. And they just, that's what
that's
they want to do.
Yeah.
We want to be with people. They want to create.
Yeah.
It's just a different. You know, and it took me a long time to accept.
And did
it.
You check them out? Like, because I just know
not
that
anymore.
But no, if my kid said, you know, I've been playing, you know, whatever game with somebody in Cleveland and they're coming in, they want to see the city, their parents are coming in, can we meet? I would have to go with. I guess he's 15. There's a big difference there.
Yes, and that is true. Now, I will say my daughter, when she was younger, met a boy online.
Oh, how did that go? Did that go
from
okay?
From Florida.
Oh.
Did he have a nice home? Because I would like to go visit him.
By the time, and that's what happened. See, and so it was good timing for him because when the internet became that thing of social, you know, socializing, my kids had just gotten older. You know what I mean? So when they were younger,
yeah.
I didn't have to worry about that. But in my daughter's case, she's mentally disabled.
Yeah.
Very high functioning. Obviously, she got a boyfriend from Florida online. That, by the time I was aware of it, he was coming to visit with his mom, so it was okay. And it all worked out, but
it did
boy,
work
I shut
out
that,
okay, though.
I shut that down real quick. I mean, so now I make her, a lot of the social media stuff she's on is part of mine.
Yeah.
But
so
you had to learn that. You didn't...
I had to learn that, yes. And in her case, I had to monitor it because of who she is.
Right.
I wouldn't think of doing that to my sons at this point.
You guys,
they're older.
This is exactly why my mom would not get me a CB radio. I wanted one so badly. I knew I wanted to be on the radio at a very young age. I didn't know CB or otherwise, but I wanted a CB radio because I wanted to come up with some cool nickname, and I wanted to talk to the truckers that were out there, and she absolutely forbid me from
getting... Yeah.
And, you know, I was so mad at her because it's like, come on, you know, late at night if I can't sleep, and she knew better, man.
Oh, my God, listen to those red flags. Truckers, late at night.
And me.
Wendy. A nickname.
Blabbermouth. That was my nickname.
I loved to party when I was younger and be out all day long.
Hey, could you drop off some strohs at my address?
You know, don't bother. I'll just meet you in the parking lot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was probably really a wise move on her part.
Your mom was a smart gal.
Yeah.
So
you must have had a talk with your daughter and explained that even though this seems extremely squeaky clean, that some guys might have other ideas. Like, what
and
was
it
that?
Seems like they're your friend, but they're not.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, in her case, poor Kaylee, her cousins and brothers got a hold of everyone was on her about that one. Because that's what
it's
was still.
It's not her fault, though.
No,
it's just an experience.
Right, but
it was naive.
On her in terms of, you cannot do this. You cannot just go on.
So did she end up meeting him or not meeting him?
This was the part where we were like, you can't go on and talk to people. Who are these people?
Right.
Now. It's so different. This was probably.
But Judy, did she meet this guy ever? In
yeah,
person?
Yeah, he came with
the
mother.
She did.
He came, and now he's they're.
And that was a one-time meeting, and
yes, and then they wanted to meet again, and he, you know, I said no. I think we wanted to go meet somewhere.
Did he
else
come to Chicago just to meet her?
Yes, yeah,
he
but
did?
With his mom.
With his mom.
You weren't listening.
No, I heard that, but I thought maybe there was something going on in town, and he went, hey, while I'm
no,
in
they just
Chicago.
Wanted to come to Chicago. They were from Florida, and it all worked out. it all worked out.
But it could have gone very badly.
It could have gone very bad. Well, you know, in my head, it couldn't have because it's not like she was driving, so there was I was going to have to be involved anyway.
Oh, yeah, I guess
I mean,
so.
If he had showed up at her house, that would have been.
Yeah.
Which is what she wanted. She was like, well, can he? And I said, no. Why
no, you got to meet.
Let's go meet somewhere so I can get a handle on this. And it was fine. It you're right. It worked out. But I was shocked that it had even gotten to that point.
Right.
She'd been talking to this guy this whole time. And so now.
And you didn't know it?
No.
No?
I wouldn't have. You know, it was. No, we didn't.
So
didn't
how did it come
online.
Up? Did she say, so I have a boyfriend now?
Yeah,
and I think
well,
he's
I have
coming?
A friend, and can he come into the house? Yeah. I'm sure she brushed it like that.
Yeah.
God, I'm glad she
over?
Asked you that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you just ding dong.
I know.
Hey,
right?
I'm your daughter's boyfriend.
And I mean, there were enough obstacles for her that it never would have gotten to any point, I don't think, because she doesn't drive. I know a lot of what goes on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that was a real awakening for us that, wow. Here's something that Kaylee can do. She can go online and talk to people.
And I've told my kids, don't tell people where you live.
Right.
If you meet someone on the internet, you know, just say in the Chicago area.
Right.
You know?
I mean, this was before, there's no Facebook. This, because it was a site. It was
like a chat room.
It was a wrestling site.
Oh,
oh my God. John Cena could have come
up. Oh, right. Yeah. Well, you know what? I would have invited him right in because, man, that guy's hot.
He cracks me up.
Isn't
Did I
funny?
Hear on the Cochran show that he's up to be the new Blue's Clues guy? Was this a joke?
No, they said on Steve's show that the guy who was Steve on Blue's Clues, he wants to come back and be that guy again.
Yeah, but John Cena is the one who's up for it.
Is Blue's Clues still on?
I think they wanted to bring it back, and Steve Burns said, I'm going
to
fight you for it.
Yeah.
Blue's Clues, Steve says he will fight John Cena for the hosting gig.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. John Cena, I could kind of see it. He's kind of a, in a way, he's kind
goof,
of a good actor.
Yeah. Well,
it's like
it's
the, what's his name?
It.
The guy
Rock?
Who makes the most, The Rock. He makes
Dwayne
the
Johnson.
Most money out of anyone.
He's a good actor?
He's good enough.
He's very versatile.
He'd be good on Blue's Clues.
he's very versatile, playing one character.
He can play almost anything.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen him do Shakespeare. He's fantastic.
As long as it blows up and he can save someone,
right.
It's all good.
Right. I'm sure it'll be great. Interesting. Jude, you have to go.
I got
to
go.
All right. Judy has to go, Wendy.
I'm sorry, Jude.
Say whatever you want, but Judy's put her
Just
time
don't
in.
Don't talk about me when I'm
You'll
gone.
Come back tomorrow.
Or you know what? Oh. Go ahead. Talk to me. Yes, right. I'll be back here.
All right. Thank you, Judy, for being part of a very magical day. This really, when this day started, I knew it would be good because I looked at the schedule and I went, well, Timmy from Lassie's going to be on and the Beaver is going to be on and there's going to be Key Lime Pie. But boy, what a day.
It has been a really
it's been
fun
a great day.
You know what would have made it better?
Hmm.
If it was a Friday.
Oh, there's that. There's that.
We're smack dab in the middle of the week.
I swear, and people who are just tuning in, they don't know the backstory, and I won't go too deep into it, but as a child, I looked much like John Provost, who played Timmy on Lassie, and was stopped at Ford City by people who thought I was him. I was trying, like, as I was talking to him, I was going back in time 50 years ago when that happened, thinking I never thought it would pay off with me telling him that people thought I was you. I didn't think that would
ever
take place.
Well, you never thought you'd tell the actual guy.
That's what I mean.
Oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
amazing. The way some things, like you go, I don't think everything comes full circle. That came as full a circle as you could possibly imagine. I didn't think that would ever take place.
And how many years did it take?
50.
See, I'm not that patient. If it doesn't happen in a year,
pay
I'm
off
done.
Now.
Yeah. By the end of the
years.
Show. If it doesn't pay off, then I forget about it.
Do you remember, I said to him, it seemed like on every episode, part of the twist was that his character, Timmy, although he wanted to go out and play with Lassie or his friends, he had some chores to do. And that was the part that always, I'd be watching that going, oh, stupid chores.
Did you have chores growing up?
Not a lot. I can't, there's not a lot of stuff I can do. So my parents figured that out early on. So, you know, the chores for me were just like, make sure all the doors that are supposed to be closed are closed. Aye, aye, Captain.
We
it
had
was
chores
never anything too strenuous.
Every Saturday and... When I was the youngest, so as my brother or sister would move away, then I would, I'd have to clean the three bathrooms with the toilet brush.
Oh.
I mean, it really wasn't hard, but, and I didn't have to do that much, but I had to do it before I could go out and play on Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
And there are still parents that make their kids do chores.
I
feel like, I'm a bad parent because I haven't made them do chores because quite honestly, they don't do it good enough. So I would just, But do it myself.
You know they do that on purpose. They're smart enough to know that if you don't do it well.
That's what Jim did with the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I kept going, you're loading it wrong. You don't put glasses on the bottom.
He knows.
He goes, oh, really? So, but now, then I got to the point where I said, go ahead and put the glasses on the bottom.
I want them on the bottom.
But then he didn't put them on the bottom. So they really do that on purpose? You did that on purpose?
Did it then, still do it to this day if there's something that
you're
I don't want to
revealing some pretty deep
do.
Secrets.
But as a kid, the only jobs I had was make my bed every day, which, you know, there's 40-second shot.
You just pull the blanket up?
Yeah, you put the blanket up, put the pillow.
No one came and bounced the coin off of it?
No, there was no coin bounce. No. And then I also had to bring the laundry down when necessary, and that wasn't hard.
Did your mom ever teach you how to do laundry?
As a kid, I did not do laundry. My mom did the laundry, mostly because, I don't know if all machines are like this, but our various colors would run and stuff like that. So
red ruins everything.
Yeah.
Red ruin.
So I never did laundry until I was, moved out almost like 19.
So who taught you before you moved out?
My mom still taught me. She said, here's a skill that you'll probably need someday.
Because I haven't taught my kids yet. And
oh, you should teach them.
Michael's 18, still lives at home, but said, you know what? Actually, Jim has taken over the laundry. I don't do laundry anymore.
It's all in Jim?
Yeah, but the only thing is I don't know where anything is. Nobody puts anything away. So it's all folded very nicely and neatly in the basement.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the boys, you'd think that they'd go grab underpants before they got in the shower. But no.
No.
They take a shower and then wrap the towel around themselves and drip as they walk down to the Can't you do it before?
No.
What is wrong with you guys?
We can't think. You're talking about thinking two steps ahead. That's way too many steps. One step maybe, but to plan that far in advance for a guy,
impossible. Since Jim's doing laundry, maybe he should teach the boys how to do laundry this summer.
Oh, yeah. It's not
hard.
Yeah,
but you didn't learn at 18. You moved out at 21, you said.
But I should have. Like, most of my friends had been doing it for years already at that point.
Were
and
you
I should have learned.
Was your mom a snowflake?
Pampered, yes, but not the way you think.
I don't know which way to go on that one.
Let's leave it at that. All right, we'll take a quick break. You know, Sports Central's coming up,
yes,
Wendy.
Yes, I do.
Sports Central's going to come by, and they'll probably be, talking sports, I'm guessing. That's just an educated guess. We'll find out. It's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.